great to be with you all again. This Tom introduced me this morning as a recon Marine. Several people asked me about that.
Former recon Marine.
My story is mercenary to missionary. You know, I never, if you told us we would be in Japan 28 years with 9 kids and 19 grandchildren and starting churches in Japan, speaking Japanese, I would have never thought that would be the case. But this proud Marine, the Lord sent me and my wife to a very hard place where we had to speak another language, had to learn a hard language, which was one of the best things for this proud man, to go forth in weakness. I heard one missionary say, he said he wanted to tell the church that if they don't have vision, he can't be their pastor. But instead of saying vision, bijon in Japanese, he said bijin in Japanese. If you don't have bijin, I can't be your pastor. Our church won't grow. And bijin is beautiful woman. And he said, if we don't have more bijin in our church, I can't be your pastor. And I heard that and I said, I am not going to make mistakes like that. And I've made way more than that. And they're worse than that. And it's great to be here and speak in English. And let's look to the Word as we hear the message tonight. Please stand. I'm going to read from a great missions passage, 2 Corinthians 5, 14 through 21. Hear God's Word. For the love of Christ controls us, because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh. We regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, making his appeal through us, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Please be seated. Let's pray to the Lord. Lord, in this brief time together, we ask that you would come and speak to us through your word. We beg you, Holy Spirit, open our hearts. Open our hearts. Help me to share from this passage to my brothers and sisters. We pray, Spirit, that you'll work. And even what happens tonight will affect the nations. That there'll be churches planted someday in places where there's no church today, because of what happens tonight. That there'll be missionaries sent to new places. That there'll be national partners supported because of what happens tonight. Holy Spirit, would you work? In Jesus' name, amen. Commander Fuchida he's the commander who led the charge on the attack on Pearl Harbor. He prayed on that aircraft carrier that morning to his gods. May the U.S. Navy be in Pearl Harbor. And that day, those 300 Japanese planes attacked Pearl Harbor, killed more than 3,000 Americans, and the ships were in the harbor. And they won the battle that day. In California, there was an airman named Jake DeShazar, and he heard the news the next morning, and he was so angry. I hate Japanese. He was filled with rage. He volunteered for a special mission that no one knew what it was going to be. And they flew off an aircraft carrier with big Air Force planes. And just 4 months after Pearl Harbor, they attacked Tokyo. You know, it's incredible they could do that. 4 months later, bombed Tokyo, not enough gas to get back, and they couldn't have landed those big Air Force airplanes on an aircraft carrier anyway, and flew on to China after attacking Tokyo, and he crash landed, was captured by the Japanese and imprisoned for the rest of the war. And he hated Japanese people. He was filled with hate for his captors. How many of you have seen Unbroken, the movie? Yeah. You know, this is what he went through in Nanking, China. He was brutalized. He hated his captors. But somehow he got a Bible. And Jake began reading the Gospels. And he got to the crucifixion of Jesus. And he's just amazed that Jesus is there on the cross praying for his enemies, loving his enemies. And Jake, in a prison of war camp in China, was converted. And no one telling him the gospel, just from reading the Bible, Jake came to Christ and began to love his captors. He became a new creature in Christ, and like our passage today, a new creature who went on mission. And he began to love his captors. He's untrained, didn't know anything, and he said, he just knew intuitively the work of the Spirit in his heart, that he wanted to go to Japan. If he ever got out of this prisoner of war camp, when the war ended, to go to Japan and be a missionary. And he went to Japan as a missionary to tell the gospel to his enemies. This is what the gospel does, new creatures in Christ. And they wrote a little track about Jake and his story of this hater of Japanese who became a lover of Japanese and was a missionary in Japan. And right after the war, a man got a track that told about the story of Jake DeShazer. Guess what his name was? Fuchida. He was the commander of the attack on Pearl Harbor. And he read about Jake and he wanted to come meet him. Long story short, Commander Fuchida became a Christian. And he went on mission. He became a new creature. And I think we got a picture of the two of them, you know, became friends, loving each other. This is what the gospel does, right? And the word, I think a picture of them with the Bible together, you know, an old picture, because this is what the gospel does. Reconciliation to God, to each other, new people in Christ, and puts us on mission. Yes, this is that, you know, so often we think of 2 Corinthians 5:17, we think about being new in Christ in our sanctification and growing, and Christ changes us. And that's true. But if you look at the context of these verses, they're about mission. Verse 18, it's about mission. Verse 17, we're new creatures in Christ. And then what happens? We get this ministry of reconciliation. Verse 19, this word of reconciliation, the message of reconciliation that we begin to take to the world. Verse 20, we're ambassadors. We're ambassadors. And verse 21, it's this gospel message, maybe the clearest place in the Bible that tells the message, verse 21, that we take out to this world that needs this gospel so badly. This morning we looked at the lavish feast for all peoples, and we say, Lord, help us to eat and drink of this feast, and yes, to be new creatures, new creations who are taking it to the world. Verse 21, you have an outline there I think you received when you came in. Maybe verse 21 is the clearest place in the Bible where we see the gospel just so clearly, the best summary. All of verse 14 through 21 is good news. Jesus gave his life for us. We'll look at that at the end. Verse 17, I'm new in Christ. 18 and 19, he reconciled us to himself, and we do this ministry of reconciliation. But verse 21, he who knew no sin became sin for us. We who know so much sin, Jesus is the one. He's the one that died on the cross for our sins. He took the punishment. He took the bullet we deserved. You know the story of Jessica Buchanan? 3 years ago, 2 weeks ago, January 25th, SEAL Team 6 went into the Somalia desert to rescue her. Do you know that story? I'm surprised I haven't made a movie out of it. You know, she was there 93 days in the desert. They moved her every 2 days. She had no hope. She thought she was going to die. These Somali pirates just brutalized her, abused her. And one night, pitch black, dark, she had no more hope. She thought this was the end. And all of a sudden, she hears this gunfire broke out in the middle of the night, and she got down on her mat in the desert there, thinking it's another one of the radical groups that's going to take her, because they were asking for more than $40 million ransom for her. And she's buried down on her mat there, and all of a sudden she feels these hands on her back, and she's fighting. I can't go through this again with another group. And all of a sudden she hears these words, Jessica Buchanan, we're taking you home. Perfect American English, you know, can you imagine, you know, and in the middle of the Somalia desert, and she looks up at this guy, SEAL Team 6 guy, you know, and throws her on his back, runs through the desert. He said, and later she said, they called me by name. And look at this video where she tells what they did as they really risked their lives for her. Look at this video. Do you have it?
We're here to save you. We're here to take you home. And so I was just in the most complete shock, and I couldn't understand how they got there and what they were doing there. It was completely beyond my comprehension, and I couldn't find my shoes to walk to safety, so one of them picked me up and carried me, just ran with me across these fields to a point of safety. And at one point, they weren't sure the premises were completely secure, so they formed a ring around me and then had me lie down, and three of them just formed a human shield on top of me and you know, kept me safe until the helicopters came in.
Does anyone think she will ever forget these guys that flew from America, parachuted out of airplanes, went through the night and rescued her, put their bodies over the top of her body to take the bullet for her? She said, they called me by name. Why did they do this for me? Well, our Lord Jesus became sin for us. He took the punishment we deserved, and he did it for his enemies, Romans 5, verse 10 says. His enemies. I think of my sin. If you knew my heart, the struggles that I have in my life, you wouldn't want me to be your preacher for your missions conference. But you're like that too. And you struggle. You have your sins and your struggles. And all of us, we say, Jesus is our hope. Jesus died for my sins. He gives us his righteousness, this passage says. And this is part of what changes us and puts us on mission. I love and appreciate my dad so much. He always talking about the righteousness of Christ. I may be up, I may be down, but the perfect righteousness of Jesus, this verse talks about, it doesn't change his perfect righteousness. You know, the power of a father living this out. I saw my dad, he did inner city ministry in Newark, New Jersey growing up. I remember one time seeing there was a drug addict live with us. They did this a lot. My mom and dad laid down their lives for people and saw this drug addict who they loved, cared for, fed him, helped him, stayed with us. And then he stole from us, and he took money from our house. And my father, you know, went out and found him and continued to love him and brought him back. Now, he was careful where we put the money after that, you know. But seeing as a young kid, seeing a father who has known the love of Christ and then shows that love of Christ and puts it on mission is powerful for us. And that's the second thing we see, not just this gospel message that we've been given, verse 21, but the mission that he gives us. We've been made new to be involved in this mission. And again, it's what happens when we're made new. A lot of you said you saw the movie Unbroken. You know, how many of you read the book Unbroken? Okay, because in the book, it tells what happened to Louis, that he, you know, that he really did become a Christian. In the movie, they kind of, you know, made it politically correct, right? That he had a religious experience and went to to want to forgive his captors. But this guy, so broken, so full of hurt and pain, and with his hands around his wife from the scars of being in a prisoner of war camp in Japan. And yet, when he came to Christ, he was, of course, not perfectly healed, but there was substantial healing in every part of his life, and he went on mission. He wanted to go back to Japan. He had been so full of hate for his captors, but he had to go back there to be reconciled to these folks. And we see Angelina Jolie, the director, you know, this movie, you know, in Japan, they do not want this movie in Japan. The book has not been translated into Japanese yet. They do not want the movie in Japan. They love Angelina Jolie, but now the right wing of Japan that represents that flag up there, that in Japan, a Christian church in Japan would never have that flag in a Christian church. Some churches I've been in for missions conference, you know, they have, I've torn it down. You know, I can't quite get up there to do that. You know, that represents the right wing of what happened during World War II. This was the flag of the emperor. And in the name of this flag, Japan went throughout Asia and raped and pillaged and killed. They made the few Christians in Japan had to bow toward Tokyo to the emperor and give allegiance to him first before having Christian worship. And is that right wing in Japan? And I think it relates to this verse in the gospel, is why can the Japanese people not say, what did we do in World War II? It was so wrong. Please forgive us. They're trying to hide what they did during World War II. The children don't even hear about it. They don't study it in history. Why? Because of no gospel, no grace. So you got to hide your sin. You got to defend yourself. We can't let this movie come into Japan. But when there's gospel, when we know that, yes, Jesus, who knew no sin, became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. That's my hope. I can grow in not defending myself when others criticize me. I can own my sin and say, I need Jesus. Verse 18, he gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Yes, we go out into the world and we do deeds of good deeds. We take the gospel to people in word, and we take the gospel to people in deeds, to the ends of the earth. It's both legs. Verse 18 says the ministry of reconciliation. Verse 19 says the word of reconciliation, some translations, and ESV says the message of reconciliation. And it's both, isn't it? Let's not get into a false dichotomy. Is it deeds or is it words? It's both. We go out into the world doing both. After the tsunami in Japan, the tsunami gave us so many opportunities to take the message of reconciliation, as we did deeds of love with the Japanese. You know, 300,000 foreigners fled Japan because of the nuclear disaster. And right away, we were headed north, taking water. I think it was we found a Baptist church. We kept supplying them with water. I think it's the first time in the history of church history that Presbyterians were giving water to Baptists, I think. And all these people, it was not lost on the people of Japan that all these foreigners fled and all these Christians are coming to help and to share the love of Christ, which, yes, opened up opportunities to not just show the love of Christ, but to share the love of Christ. In our town, we were renting trucks, you know, right away, and Toyota Rental decided we're not going to let trucks go north anymore to the disaster area. And the lady had already given me the keys in a town next to our town, and I said, thank you so much. We have people waiting in our church to take supplies up north. And she said, oh, you're going to Tohoku? Oh, you're not allowed to take our truck to Tohoku. I said, lady, I'm sorry. You gave me the keys. I've already signed. We're going tonight to Tohoku. She said, no, you can't go to Tohoku. And long story short, we had a little international incident there. Anyway, I won, and we went to Tohoku with their truck that night. And we didn't cause too big of an incident, you know. And then the next day, we had to rent a truck in our town from Toyota, and I put it in my name instead of in the name of our church. And so I, you know, called it in, did the paperwork. Young lady there at the desk, she signed it over. She hadn't given me the key yet, though. And she said, Aibason-san, Tohoku ni ikimasu ka? Are you going to Tohoku with our truck? How do you answer, you know? Said, yes, we are. And we have people waiting at our church with lots of supplies to go. People need water. Said, please, you know, give me the truck. And she said, are you from Oyumi no Kiristo Kyokai-sama desu ka? Are you from Oyumi no Church? yes, we're from Oyumino Church. And I started to tell what we're doing. And she began to cry a little bit, tear up. She said, thank you for taking these supplies up to Tohoku. She gave me the keys, you know. Now, I haven't seen her come to worship, but another lady, Mrs. Shikama, she had come to English class a while, and she stopped coming. She wasn't interested in English. We had Bible study with English as well. But after she saw all the trucks going, all these foreigners coming in, and people going north to help and to go up toward where, you know, the nuclear disaster, all of this, she came back to worship, got in Bible study, and came to Christ and was baptized last year. You know how God does take the deeds of mercy, and he uses that as we go out in the world and love people and serve people in Birmingham or in Japan or India, wherever we are. He takes that, and we give not just the love of Christ that shows the love of God to the world, but we give the message of Christ. I mentioned my son Danny this morning and said I would tell you what happened. When he went back to the baseball practice, and he didn't bow, and the coach was very angry, tried to put pressure on him to bow to the ground by making all the players bow a number of times to the ground. That's the way Japan is, you know. The nail that sticks up gets hammered down. Everybody's got to be the same. And Danny came back, Dad, you got to go talk to the coach. I should have gone to talk to the coach first. And went to see the coach and explained to him. Said, you know, we're Christians, and Japan is technically a free country. Not really, constitutionally, but so much pressure on people to conform and not to become Christians. And I said, you know, we worship the God who made that ground. And the coach said, but we all have to do the same. I said, well, I'm sorry, my son is not going to bow to the ground. And he said, well, Mr. Iverson, how about if you come back the next meeting we have for all the parents, and would you be willing to share about why your son can't bow to the ground to all the other parents? Would you be willing to do that, you know? Because Danny didn't bow, got to do that with the parents and give the word of reconciliation. Tell a message, brief, simple, about the God who made the dirt. Francis of Assisi, his famous quote, preach the gospel at all times. When necessary, use words. Well, we know what he's trying to get at, that we need to show the love of Christ. But that's missing something, you know? People need the words. They need to hear this message of the gospel that Jesus died for sinners. We are ambassadors. Ambassadors speak, verse 20. The third thing we see in this passage, the third M we see, is this powerful motivation, especially verse 14 and 15. Look at 14 again. For the love of Christ controls us. Other translations, constrains us and compels us and catapults us. No, I don't think that is one of them. That's not one of the translations, but we can throw that in for this missions conference. The love of Christ catapults us out into mission. Verse 15, he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, not for ourselves, that's what we're prone to do, right? But live for him who for their sake died and rose again. This gospel, this Jesus who gave himself for us, it's this powerful motivation. Like that can that girl, Jessica Buchanan, will she ever forget those guys that risked their life to fly and parachute into Somalia and to rescue her from certain death? Will she? She wrote a book about them. She says, they called me by name. Like, reminds me of John 10. He knows his sheep. He calls them by name. Said they treated me like I was the most important thing in the world, you know? She'll never forget what they did. And yet Jesus came from heaven and he gave his life for us, and he did die. He came and he died. And none of those guys on that mission, none of them were killed. They all lived. All of us in the whole world, Japanese people are moved by people that give their lives for other people. We're motivated by that. There was a famous lady in one of the towns during the time of the tsunami. You know, some places, friends, the waves were more than 100 feet high. I've been to this town, Minami Sandiku, saw the frame, only metal left, a half mile in, where this incredible wave hit the city hall. And this lady, her job was to be at the speakers, saying, run to the high ground. She's on the third floor, the third floor. Run to the high ground, run to the high ground. And you know, the speakers throughout the town, people could hear that, run to the high ground. And everyone there in the office, they went to the roof because a huge wave is coming, third floor. And all of a sudden, her voice stopped, and she was killed. She gave her life telling everyone to go to the high ground, giving that message to save everyone there in that little town of Minami Sandiku. All of us, we're moved by stories of people like that. We're thankful for them. Well, the Lord Jesus intentionally, for his enemies, he gave his life, laid down his life for us, and we say, here we are, Lord, Oak Mountain Presbyterian Church, our families, our marriages, our kids, our money, what are you calling us to do? He gave his life. So again, verse 15, so now we offer our lives to him in response joyfully to him and say, Jesus, what do you want me to do? One of my favorite guys in church history, John Peyton from England, he was going to a tribe of cannibals in the South Pacific, and his friend came to him and said, John, don't go. You'll be eaten by cannibals. And John turned to his friend and said, my friend, you're getting old. In a few years, you'll be eaten by worms. He said, I'm going to go serve Jesus and lay down my life. And he did. Boy, what happened to his kids, to his family? And he went. But the great joy of taking the gospel to this South Sea island. My young friend of mine, Brian Cardarelli, killed several years ago in Afghanistan, one of our few PCA martyrs that we have. Do you know his name? We should know his name. Brian Cardarelli. He went. Oh, you read about the mission, a Christian group. They went over the mountain to a Muslim village, and they knew it was dangerous. And when they were doing medical mission, Brian come to Japan a number of times on mission trips. Young guy, 25 years old. He loved Jesus. He wanted to love Muslim people. He grew up, spent some years in Afghanistan as a young person. And as they got back out of that area, at their vehicle, there were people waiting for them, and they killed all of them, all 10 of them. And Brian, one of our few PCA martyrs that we have, he knew it was dangerous, but he said, Jesus, lay down his life for me. I go and lay down my life for Jesus. We take our offerings. We take our lives. We take our kids. I thank the Lord for my dad who modeled this. You know, we have such an effect on our kids. What do our kids see from us? Do they see Mom and Dad say, I love Jesus, you know, Jesus is everything. We sing the songs. Well, they say, yeah, wow, Mom and Dad, they believe in Jesus. And wow, they act like they believe in Jesus, the way they live and the way they spend their money, the way they give and the way they serve people. He laid down his life for us. And this verse 14 says, this love compels, constrains, and catapults us out. Say, Lord, here we are. What do you want us to do? My son Danny got a call from Carol. I was at a meeting in Tokyo. She said, Danny, he's the toilet Danny. He's the baseball Danny. Say he was 17. Said Danny got suspended from the Christian school the other side of Tokyo where the missionary kids go. And I said, suspended. I'm sad. My sinful heart, my first thought was my reputation, missionary, my son suspended from school, and the Lord got me past that. I said, what? Let me talk to Danny. Danny, what did you do? He said, I'm sorry, Dad. I said, well, tell me what you did. He said, Dad, could I wait till you get home before I tell you? I said, tell me, what did you do, Danny? And he said, Dad, please, let me tell you when you get home. And I said, okay. And before I hung up, I remembered when I was about 17, and had messed up bad, and my dad had told me, Dan, I love you, and my love for you is not changed by what you just did. I love you. Now, my dad didn't love me perfectly, but he did. He loved me, modeled the love of Christ to me. And I remember that as I'm on the phone with my son, who had just really messed up and got suspended from school. And I said, Danny, I want you to know, whatever you did, that I love you. And what you did is not going to change my love for you. I love you, son. And I hung up the phone, got on the train, and I'm thinking, oh, man, did he do that? No, he couldn't have done that. That would have been more than 3 days, you know, Christian school, you know. Did he do that? Well, maybe not that. Well, maybe it was that, you know. And got home and found out what he did. It was bad. Had him memorizing scripture those next days, and it was a great, I would tell you the scripture, but then you'd figure out what he did maybe, you know. But Danny, it was the time. He's a pastor in Atlanta now. That was the time that he really, really seems came to Christ and laid down his life, said Jesus, and came to really know Jesus personally and changed. About 2 weeks later, he said, Dad, you know when you told me on the phone that you loved me and I couldn't change your love for me? And I hesitate to tell that story because all of us, I had a father, not a perfect love, but he loved me. A lot of us here didn't have fathers and mothers who loved us that way, but we do now. We do now in Christ. And Danny said, Dad, when you told me that on the phone, thank you for telling me that. That was so powerful in my life that you love me that way. Well, God loves us that way in Christ. And that love is compelling, isn't it? It constrains us. It calls us. It catapults us out to this needy world to be a part of his mission. Let's pray.